All right, it is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you in, proudly presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Las Vegas. There he is, Michael Lombardi. Before we get to quote-unquote, my friend, some news there in Jersey, as yesterday, no fans announced as far as the Eagles and the Phillies moving forward. I bring that up because everybody's kind of handling this differently, right? Michael, the Patriots sent out to their season ticket holders potentially 20% capacity, but Philly has closed it down for good.
Yeah, but Philly and Jersey were, you know, if you walk around in Ocean City, New Jersey, it's like you were in Philadelphia. There's Villanova, there's Phillies, there's Eagles. I mean, this is Jersey, South Jersey is an extension of Philly, North Jersey an extension of New York, and I could see that. I mean, we have been in the epicenter, and now that we are at summertime, you know, people are starting to test positive in Ocean City. We had three workers on the boardwalk where people, young kids go up there at night, walk around from all ages, test positive at a local pizza parlor. So, yeah, I could see there's no way that fans are going to be in. And I wouldn't suspect it for the Giants or the Jets either.
Okay, we're absolutely jam-packed on the show today. What would Michael do? We've got a top five Lombardi's list coming up in just a little bit, but let's start with the new addition, quote-unquote. I like this one, Michael. Expectations are dangerous when they are both too high and uninformed. Okay, you see it on the screen there as well. Expectations are dangerous when they are both too high and uninformed, and that's from Lionel Shriver.
Yeah, and I think this really applies to today, the franchise tag that we're seeing across the NFL. Dak Prescott, James Slater reported that he's turned down a deal somewhere between $33 and $35 million with $100 million guaranteed. And we know that, you know, Dak Prescott's not looking at that deal. He's not looking at Aaron Rodgers. He's not looking at Jared Goff. He's not looking at Russell Wilson. He's looking at Patrick Mahomes or Todd Francis. That's right. The objective is to get to Todd Francis. His expectations are way above that, and his facts aren't there. He's not better than Russell Wilson. He's not better than Aaron Rodgers. Now, he's better than Jared Goff. God bless. There's no doubt, right? He is better than him. But the reaction, his expectations and his knowledge isn't there. And he's counting on the Cowboys being desperate. And Stephen Jones and Jerry, the owner, you know, they've offered him a deal that fits his play, not his perception. And I think that's why. And I think a lot of these guys that get tendered and franchised, they have these expectations for a huge deal when really it's the best vehicle for the club to get another year. Derrick Henry will get another year out of him. No one's going to sign Derrick Henry. At least Tennessee's not going to sign him to a huge deal unless it favors the team, because everybody knows running backs come and go. Running backs are not what it is. I mean, the Cowboys paid Zeke because he can impact the passing game. Derrick Henry doesn't.
Okay, I want to get into the breaking news that you broke on the show yesterday. We'll get to that in just a minute. But there are 13 players still waiting. You know, in 18 and 19, 11 tags were used collectively. Why so many more this year, Michael?
Well, I think when you break, like, if you have a tight end on your team, Hunter Henry, the tight end tag is cheap. It's kind of an affordable way to do business, and it helps your cash flow. So when you sign a franchise tender, you're guaranteed, Dak Prescott's guaranteed $31 million, okay? The Cowboys do not have to pay any part of that money until game one. Once he's on the roster, they split that 30, divide 17 into 31, and every week that's Dak's check. There's no cash flow. There's no cash flow issue. It just flows within the payroll when teams are getting paid by the TV contract. So there's no extension. It's really a friendly deal for clubs. It's also a friendly deal for players because it really ups their ante.
Okay, it's M. Lombardi, NFL. You can find the quotes, the daily coach as well. We got quote unquote, which we're starting, which I love. We apply it to the show. We've got application to the betting market as far as these players still sitting on tags. Remember, the deadline today is 4 p.m. Eastern. 13 players still waiting. There are still two players that haven't signed the tag yet. We'll explain what that means coming up in just a little bit. Also, what would Michael do? And then we're going to go run it back. Yesterday, the offensive coordinators applying their impact to the betting market. Today, we're going to go defensive coordinators with their adjustments, applying those to the betting market as well as we get along. Remember, it's vsin.com. You missed anything, M. Lombardi NFL, and we're at VSiN Live on Twitter as we get it going and start a brand new Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. We're talking franchise tags, Michael. And so maybe you should take a bow. You know, you've been breaking news here on VSiN and The Athletic for a while. Yesterday, you told me directly, listen, Chris Jones is going to get done. And he got got done. A 4-year deal, $80 million, looks like $60 million guaranteed. He's going to be able to hit the market before he's 30 years old. You know, if you take a look back from 2016, amongst defensive tackles, only Aaron Donald is ahead of him as far as sacks. This has been a very productive player, and the Chiefs locked him up.
Yeah, and the Chiefs knew they couldn't afford to lose him. Once they did the Patrick Mahomes deal with Chris Jones in mind. That was a multi-deal. They basically went to Mahomes and said, look, we need you to cooperate with us for 2 years so we can get this guy, because this guy could be the most disruptive player we would have to play against if he went to another team. If he went to the Las Vegas Raiders, or if he went to the Los Angeles Chargers, or he went to another team with cap room, he could cause Patrick Mahomes problems. Why? Because he is the perfect player to defend a passing game. He's long, he's tall, and he plays inside. Everybody gets excited about the guys that run the corner, and they're worthwhile and they're needed. But guys that impact the passing game the most are defensive tackles with length, who have long arms, who could reach up, who force these quarterbacks to throw the ball over a giant wall. And Chris Jones does it.
Now, it's interesting. Remember, the highest season win total, obviously the defending champs in the Chiefs at 11.5. It's juiced up to 130 at DraftKings. But if you think about this team, this is scary right now, Michael. 20 of 22 starters from the Super Bowl team. The coaching staff, Bieniemy doesn't go anywhere, so the coaching staff comes back. They add Edwards-Helaire as far as a pass-catching threat out of the backfield. I mean, they're just running it back this year, the Chiefs.
Yeah, and I think this too, Patrick. I'm not sure people really understand how to beat the Chiefs. Like, I don't think there's a formula out there that people can play. You know, Bill Parcells' high school coach, Mickey Corcoran, used to say all the time to Parcells, there's a way to win a game. You know, and I've shared that with some coaches in college and in pro. There's always a way to win the game. You got to figure it out. I'm not sure, other than what New England did in that playoff game, that people really understand how to play this young man. I think they really don't understand that it's not that you don't win this game with your defense, that you don't play him with your defense. You play him with your complete team. You play him with all three facets. And if you get into a game with them, you have to visualize how that game has to go for you to win it, how it goes. I mean, Baltimore, let's say, for example, last year, Baltimore, I think they played 27 minutes of defense against the Chiefs and gave up almost 500 yards. So less defense against Mahomes doesn't necessarily have a recipe for winning. How do you want to play the game? I'm not sure people truly know that. That's why I favor the over, because too many coaches don't understand how to play complementary football. So when you go to play the Chiefs, if you don't understand that completely, they're going to beat you no matter how well you play.
By the way, I just found a number offshore, Michael, as far as Dak's new contract. The under 1.5 years is minus 225. So that's favored, but it's not a big favorite. And the over 1.5 years for the new contract for Dak is plus 160. As far as I'm concerned, unless you're hearing something, he's going to sign this tag. It's going to be a 1-year deal.
Oh, he already signed the tag. He forced their hand. So he's there. So now he's basically, here's what Todd France is telling Stephen Jones. He said, you know, Jerry, Stephen, look, I got 31 this year. I'm going to make 37. That's 68. You're offering me a deal that's less than what I'm going to get the next 2 years. Why would I sign your deal? And the answer is, well, I give you security. I don't really need security. I'll go to the bank. I'll get a loan out. I'll take a loan. I've got career-ending life insurance I'll pay for. I don't need your security. I've got my own. So what's the incentive for me to sign? Why would I sign a deal that puts me below Russell Wilson, that puts me below Aaron Rodgers? Well, you're not better than him. Well, okay, I'm not better than him, but I'm up. It's my turn at the plate. You know, I'm hungry. You know, their deal's old. My deal's new. That's why it won't get done.
And Kirk Cousins blazed this path as far as quarterbacks. You don't generally see quarterbacks get to this point. Now, it's interesting because a second franchise tag, it goes up. I think it's like 120% of the top five.
It goes up to $37 million. Yep. It goes up to $37 million.
Right. And you can tag them three times, right? But there's no way once you tag them that third time, it goes up an absorbent amount.
Right. And then we don't know where the cap's going either, right? We think the cap could stay flat next year. That's part of this negotiation, which is going to be a law. If the players think the owners are going to give them $250,000 per player to not play, they've been living in a different world than I live in. There's no way.
you tweeted this yesterday to M. Lombardi NFL Ngakoue, who wants out of Jacksonville. Before he gets out, he has to sign that tag. He hasn't signed yet, right?
No, that's what drives me crazy about Twitter. I mean, it's that people say stuff on Twitter. They don't know what they're talking about. You can't trade an unsigned player until he controls the trade. The Jacksonville has no ability to trade. He could go to Jacksonville and say, look, I want to get traded to the Houston Texans. Now you work it out. And they call Houston and they can't make a deal. Okay, that won't work out. It's got to be it's got to be everybody partake in this. And Jacksonville wants nothing to do with trading them. So they're just going to let them play the tag.
We have a new highest paid defensive player in NFL history, no longer Khalil Mack. The Browns signed defensive end Myles Garrett to a 5-year extension, the former number one overall pick, $125 million extension through 2026. The deal includes $50 million guaranteed at signing. A surprise here or not at all?
Not really. I mean, look, they've got a ton of cap room. I mean, they have a ton of cap room and they don't have enough really great players to pay that. Now, I think the other factor that you have to take into consideration here is the fact that Baker Mayfield's still on his rookie contract. And I don't know if they know what to do with Baker yet, right? Everybody's going to assume they're going to sign him to a mega deal. Are they? Where are they with Baker? If you're the GM, Patrick, are you signing Baker to a mega deal?
Yes, after his rookie year, I'm into him. After last year, which was so regressive, I'm out.
How do I know either? No one knows. So they're going to start signing these players to deals that are friendly for their cap. And this is a smart deal for them to make. They needed to do it. He's one of their best players. He may be their best player. You know, he is their best player on defense. He is one of their best players on the team. He is that. I mean, like Sheldon Richardson needs to raise his game up to meet him. They don't have enough good players. It was an easy deal for them to do.
Okay. Now, the NFL and NFLPA, they're continuing to negotiate terms for a return to work. Look, we can be very you and I are optimistic dudes. We're optimistic about this season getting played. I'm still optimistic about college football. Maybe I'm crazy. But the Players Association is saying, hold on. And according to sources, there's three options here. An opt-out clause for at-risk players to receive salary but not bonuses if they decide not to play. An opt-out clause for players with at-risk families to earn an accrued season and benefits if they decide not to play. And then an opt-out clause for players who leave the team after reporting, a $250,000 stipend guaranteed to all players if they show up to camp and everything is shut down because of COVID. The amount rises to $500,000, Michael, if the season starts only to be shut down. Are you hearing anything here as far as the NFLPA negotiations?
No, I and based on what I'm reading there, they ain't going to get that done. I can tell you that right now. I mean, this is not going to happen. You know, I mean, that's not happening in any other league. So, you know, it's not going to happen in football. And I think that, you know, the NBA, they haven't done that. They've given the players the right to opt out, but they're not paying the players. I mean, I think you have to give the players the right to opt out. But if you tell the players they can opt out and then they get paid anyway, how many do you think are going to want to play? I mean, seriously.
You don't want to hand that leverage.
I mean, they can pretend they're worried about coronavirus and say, well, I'm not going to play. I mean, I'm going to get an accrued season. I'm going to make $250,000. Why would I do that? I mean, think about it. I mean, that just shows you how dumb they think we are as fans. I mean, nobody's going to buy that. Nobody's going to go for that. That's wishful thinking. That's not even dreamlike. Like, they're going to have to get serious with the negotiation. And I don't know really what their legal rights are in terms of if they don't want to come to work, will the players then find players that do? Is that a strike? I think they obviously want to work together on this, but they better nail that down because that's not going to happen.
Okay, it's news and notes here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. We got to get all that stuff out of the way. Let's jump into the market. And your buddy Max Crosby. Now, Max Crosby, the kid out of Eastern Michigan, had a pretty good year, 10 sacks for the Raiders last year. But he says they're confident. Listen, we know how to beat the Chiefs. He said, I know what we need to do to beat the Chiefs. So they're going to beat the Chiefs, Michael. Let's dive into the Raiders, who, by the way, if I look out my door and I drive about a mile that way, there's a beautiful training facility here in Henderson, Nevada. Everybody's fired up about the Raiders. The win total set at 7, 110 up and down, so even betting there. It's a 7-9 team from 2019. Remember, they started 6-4. They had a big win at Indianapolis before traveling across the pond. Positives: Darren Waller, 90 catches last year. Josh Jacobs, you know, Bowden Jr. added as a flex. Malik Collins signs. Henry Ruggs. However, beating the Chiefs, that's a tall order.
Well, I mean, look, they also lost to Jacksonville at home. I mean, in the second half of the season, they were outscored in the third quarter, minus 81. They only scored 20 points in the third quarter all season. You're paying a guy $100 million as your coach, $10 million a year, and you got 20 points in the third. And he's supposed to be an offensive coach, and he got 20 points in the third. Nobody ever talks. No, we don't write that. Nobody talks about that. You know, God forbid if we talk about that, you know, because we have a perception, right? No, we don't want to talk about that, you know. The reality of it is I don't think the Raiders truly understand how to beat him, because none of their actions tell me they know. They draft a defensive lineman who's never run a 40 time before in Farrell. They draft a corner in Arnett who runs 4.6, right? They sign Nick Kwiatkowski, nice player. Is he going to be on the field on third down? Is he going to be on pass? Because it isn't on the field on third down anymore. It's on the field on passing downs. Who's the defensive tackle that's going to push the pocket and wear it down? Tell me who that is. Is it going to be Malik Collins, who's, you know, small guy, gets bounced around? Hurst?
Right.
I mean, like, who is it? Like, where is their athleticism in the defensive front? Where are their big guys to push the pocket? And then my question is, can they cover? Is Prince Akamura going to cover? Is Trayvon Mullen going to cover? I mean, like, where are they covering these guys? Like, I don't see it. And then how are they going to complement their offense? You know, for me, I as I've said earlier in the show, it's a three-dimensional problem beating the Chiefs. It's not Max Crosby sticks out his chest and says, I got this.
And they did not. I'm looking from yesterday's notes. I don't see John Gruden as a difference maker as far as an offensive play caller. Why would that be? And the relationship, honestly, what's most discussed when it comes to the Raiders, as you know, it's what sells, is the relationship between he and Carr.
Right. And I mean, look, John is a really good offensive coach, right? But the stat at 20 points in the third quarter, minus 81, it tells you, where is the game time adjustment? Where is the adjustments, right? What's going on? And look at the second half of the season. Look at the Raiders' second half of the season, their win total. Look at how their performance went down the line. What does that tell you? That tells you that once teams figured out what he was doing, he didn't have an answer. It's like think of it this way, Patrick. You're a basketball player. You go every time you go down the court, you're using your right hand. Well, you get away with that for a while. But once teams that are smart start forcing you to go left, you don't get away with it anymore. And all of a sudden, what happened to him? It happens to a lot of players in the league. They have this stardom they reach. And then people say, like, what happened? Well, people figured out how to defend him. Baker Mayfield. Rush him inside. Pressure the pocket. Don't let him escape. Keep him in there. Okay, well, now what do you do? You know, it's always, that's the game of football, is I'm going to force you to do this. What are you going to do? And the Raiders haven't been able to answer that dilemma.
Let's take a look at the Raiders schedule just to start off, because it's brutal. I mean, if you take a look, they've got a week 6 bye, but they're at the Panthers. Okay. And then as you move along, here's where it gets nasty. Host New Orleans. They're at New England, host Buffalo, they're at Kansas City, and then they go to a bye in week 6. So that is a rough 6-week stretch, 5-week stretch for the Raiders to start off the season.
No doubt. And what's the biggest concern that John Gruden has with his quarterback? He has the fact that when the play breaks down, Derek Carr can't make it. And I've said this numerous times, Derek Carr can't play better than he's been playing. He can't. And they've won 11 games in the last 2 years. He can't play better than he's playing. John hasn't been playing at the highest level he can play, and they can't win with him. And their defense, like, somebody has to convince me they've gotten better on defense. I can't see it. Like, I don't see it. I'm not in love with, okay, they signed Littleton. They've signed Kwiatkowski. You know, they've got Malik Collins. Rod Marinelli as a defensive line coach. I mean, like, tell me why they're going to be better. Like, explain to me. Like, they draft a corner who can't run. They got a defensive end in Farrell who really needs to play tackle, but he's too light to go inside to play tackle. He gets bounced around. He plays too tall inside. He doesn't have enough juice to really go and push the pocket back, you know, and then he can't. Who's chasing Mahomes down? Like, it's a bad matchup. Like, if Al Davis woke up tomorrow and walked into the Raider offices, he would hate the team. He would hate his team. He would love Ruggs. You know, he would love the arm of Carr. He would hate his defense.
Feeling okay if a better wants to invest under 7 with the Raiders?
I think that's the right number. I think sometimes it's the right number. I don't see it being a bad number. I don't see them being, you know, Patrick, I don't see them being, I think they're, if anything, they're 8-8, 7, and they're not a bad team by no means. I mean, this isn't a 4-12 team,
right.
But don't get fooled by the first half of the season, because Gruden will do some really good things and then people catch up to him.
July marks the return of major sports, and if you're in Nevada and you want to get in on the action, pardon me, Michael, you want to get to wager at BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app from the same folks who bring you world-class sportsbook and casino experiences in Las Vegas. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM, state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. If you're excited about the return of basketball, baseball, and hockey with football right around the corner, then it's time to believe in your game at BetMGM. Go to BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. You got a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We've got new numbers on the starters and New England and Miami. And we're coming back with that next right here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, Sports Betting Network. Okay, pay attention, Michael. Manscaped.com has the tools for your family jewels, and you get 20% off plus free shipping with code VSIN20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off at manscaped.com with the promo code VSIN20. And we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I was just talking with Michael during the break. Remember, download GM Shuffle. He's got a bunch of good stuff this week. Also, speaking of this week, it's Wednesday. It's a party here at VSiN. Point Spread Weekly just dropped, and everybody's telling me it's one of the best ones we've got. You can get it for free. Go to VSiN.com, become a Plus subscriber, and all of it's free right now. Okay, we've got What Would Michael Do coming up in a little bit. We've got Lombardi's List. You know, I'm starting to – you had Flores down in Miami as one of your top five coaches that you'd like to move forward with, which I loved at the time. And every time this guy opens his mouth, I love it. He's keeping his expectations for Tua very, very tight and very low. He says, until I see him in practice, yes, he was examined. But again, that's examined. And doing a 2-hour practice and playing a game, there's a process to all those things, Flores told the Post. So as far as whether or not he can do something or he can't, it's hard to say. My hopes don't get high or low until I see the guy in the huddle. I love everything about Flores. I don't know if Michael's got me. I think we lost Michael for a little bit.
No, I got you. I'm back. Okay, I'm here.
I love everything about Flores. Now, I apologize. And it's right now offshore. Fitz, you got Fitz at -350, Tua +225, DraftKings -278 on Fitz, and then Tua at +235. So Fitz still, obviously, Fitzpatrick still a favorite to be the starter there.
Yeah, and it makes sense for him to be, because Tua hasn't demonstrated to anybody what he can do and can't do. I think what Brian Flores' attitude is, look, he's got to prove it to me and he's got to prove it to the team. And, you know, and he will eventually prove it. Eventually he will, whether it's week 3, week 4, week 6, you know, why rush it? Why rush it, you know, and make everybody earn it? Because if he gives it to Tua, then he's going to have to give it to somebody else. And one thing about Flores, he ain't giving away anything. He's a good young coach. And I think this is another lesson. You know, it's funny, Patrick. I was talking to somebody in the league the other day, just last afternoon, and we were talking about hiring practices in the NFL. Like, everybody frowns on defensive coaches. And yet history has told us defensive coaches make much better head coaches because the team has toughness. You know, I go on Chicago radio and I tell them their team's soft, and they get all upset about it. Well, you know, 3rd-and-1, you know what Chicago Bears ranked last year in 3rd-and-1 conversions? 32nd. They had 9 touchdowns scoring. You know, when you can't run the football in a pressure situation against a tough defense, you're really not tough. You're not going to win a championship without toughness. And one thing you get when you get a defensive coach like Flores, you get toughness.
You know, I was looking at their number. It's 6.5. But if you take a look at the schedule, Michael, remember, they're playing the NFC West out of division. Now, at New England to start, Buffalo, at Jacksonville, okay, maybe a reprieve. Then they come home, host Seattle. They go across the country to San Francisco, go to Denver, where you know it's tough. They host Los Angeles. Then they go across the country to take on the Rams. And then they go at Arizona. So a lot of this has to do with just awkward travel for the Dolphins as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of the way it is. You got two really, you know, Broncos, you got back to back. I'm sure they're going to stay on the West Coast if they can with the 49ers and Broncos in week 5 and 6. Then they got to come back and play the Cardinals out in Phoenix. You know, but when you're in Miami or Seattle or Boston, you know, you're always going to have long trips when you play the West. But here's the thing, I think if you want to bet the over here, you got to believe that they're going to beat Buffalo once. You got to believe they're going to beat the Jets at least once, right? You may not believe that they can beat the Patriots twice, but say you think that. Now you got to find four other wins. You got to find, can they beat the Raiders out in Oakland? Can they beat the Bengals? Sure, there's okay, we got four, right? We already think they can split with the Jets. Where are they getting the other wins from? Can they beat the Cardinals? Maybe Broncos? You know, the 49ers? I think that's where it gets a little tough. I think that 7 wins would be a great season by the Miami Dolphins.
And impossible breaking these schedules down. Who had them traveling to Gillette to end the season and beating the Patriots in a Patriot game that they needed? They did have a busy offseason, just got 45 seconds. Byron Jones, Van Noy, Jordan Howard, Shaq Lawson. So they were busy this offseason and very creative in the draft as well.
And they're going to have a run. I mean, you can't even name who their running back was. Ryan Fitzpatrick led the team in rushing last year. So, you know, they're going to have some kind of running game, and Fitz along with, you know, with the offense, with Chan Gailey in there, it fits him perfectly. So there is an upside. Now, can they rush the passer? Can they get pressure on the quarterback? We'll see. Can they get off the field on third down? I think we got to find out.
Okay, the numbers are jumping all over the place. If you're a bettor, we're going to come back with Cam and the Patriots. The numbers are askew all over the map, offshore, here in Vegas as well. Also, what would Michael do coming up right here on the Lombardi Line? It's presented by BetMGM. You missed anything? Go to vsin.com. Make sure you get Point Spread Weekly. Coming back with what would Michael do here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Action, sign up for First Bet, a new betting and handicapping product from ExpressBet. Use the promo code Vegas500 to get a $10 free bet and a plus receive up to $500 in bonuses for wagering in your first 30 days. Visit first.com/bet. It's very important to do it this way. Number1st.com/bet. Again, that's first.com/bet. The promo code is Vegas500. Coming up here on the Lombardi Line, we've got Lombardi's List as we welcome you back, of course, presented by BetMGM. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick. He's Michael. Okay, I'm going to need you to use your connections here with this conversation, and it has to do with the Knicks head coaching search. Now, Leon Rose is the president, and we've long heard that Tom Thibodeau is the favorite. Kelly just told us he's a -250 favorite to be the next coach of the Knicks. And why wouldn't you want to be the coach of the Knicks? RJ Barrett and Mitchell Robinson. And that's really, I mean, it's
Alfred
dire
Payton
right
doesn't
now.
Entice you. Alfred Payton Alfred doesn't Payton entice you. Wayne Ellington. I mean, come on.
I mean, it is a dire situation. However, let's jump into this. As far as the better, is 250 too heavy a price to lay? As far as Thibodeau, we know he and Rose have a relationship.
Yeah, I mean, they're very close. Don't leave World Wide West out of this equation either. Leon Rose and World Wide West are very close. World Wide West is down here in Ocean City right now, over on 15th Street, where he hangs out. He has breakfast every morning right down the street here at the Varsity Inn. So, you know, I mean, they know Leon Rose has summer house over in Margate. So this is a kind of an area that they kind of hang out at. And I think the kid is certainly going to get a job. I think it's the Nets job would be more inclined. I think this is Thibodeau's job because Here's what I think Thibodeau brings to the Knicks, which I think they need badly. A, toughness. They need, and B, an identity. Because one thing about the NBA, you better have an identity of who you want to be. You better be able to do that. Now, if they go the college route, let's just say they decide to go and pick a name out of college and do the what the Boston Celtics did by shocking everybody and convincing Brad Stevens to leave Butler. You know, maybe John Calipari's tired of coaching at Kentucky. I don't know that for a fact, but maybe he's tired of coaching for him. He has a summer house about an hour up the road from here. So, you know, maybe he's tired of coaching in Kentucky. Maybe he would like to welcome the challenges of, you know, taking on the Knick project, because college basketball just got rather interesting. Don't you think, Patrick, with the no more one and done?
Oh,
you
heck
know,
yeah.
And the way the rules are, one of these college coaches, and it may not be Calipari. This is all speculative on my part. It may not be him. But maybe there's a college coach that we're not talking about that might decide, you know what, the NBA might be the better life right now.
All right, I got a job for you after the show. Put a mask on, go down to the Varsity Inn. I need you to talk to World Wide West, because here's Kelly just sent me some updated numbers. So Thibodeau is a minus 250 favorite. I'm going to tell you, they're going to rue the day they skip out on Kenny Atkinson. Okay, he's 4-1 right now. He's your second betting favorite. He's from Long Island. He did a great job in player development with the Nets. That's exactly what you're dealing with here with the Knicks, Michael. Also, Creative Artist Agency, I believe that's who represents Atkinson, and Rose was ahead of that. Now, here's what I'm saying. Thibodeau gets burnt out on dudes that aren't playing up to hit their potential or how he needs or deems them play. Atkinson's a developer. He developed, and that Nets team got better. He just ran into Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I mean, and there's all, and look, the Knicks have a lot of money to lure people. I think one of the appeals to Jason Kidd becoming the next head coach would be the fact that they have money to recruit, and he could help them recruit. I think Kidd is going to be the coach either in New York, the Nets, or Philadelphia. I think that's the other. I think if Brett Brown and the 76ers don't, as we started this show, meet the expectations of the team, then I think they make a change, and I think Jason Kidd would be at the top of their list. One thing we do know for sure, Jason Kidd's at the top of a lot of lists.
And it's a new ownership group. Remember, that first year he went 44-38 with the Nets and beat the Raptors in the first round of the playoffs. So he had some early success there. You know, Kidd's in it. He is a wild card. He's not even listed as far as the numbers that were just sent to me. I just... Again, Thibodeau minus 250 favorite. The Atkinson thing is really intriguing to me just because of the player development. And you and I had fun with it. Michael, that is a roster that is bottom level. I mean, honestly, we don't even know yet what they have with RJ Barrett, and that's their calling card.
No, I know. And they don't have an identity either. Like, none of the pieces fixed. Kevin Knox. I mean, where does he fit? Mo Harkness, you know, where does he fit? They just signed a bunch of guys because they had cap room. You know, what happened is they do exactly what you shouldn't do. Go to the grocery store hungry, you know, so they just started signing guys. And there's no rhyme or reason to where it all fits. Julius Randle, where does he fit? You know, Mitchell Robinson looks like he could be a good young player. I was screaming for the Sixers to draft him 2 years ago, but that's beside the point. But he looks like he could be a good young player. And, you know, he's a big man, but we know this isn't a big man's game anymore. We know it's still about having athleticism and being able to shoot. I think the Knicks need an identity. That's why I think it'll be Thibodeau's job, because he does bring that with him.
Very well put. Now, remember, bring your copy of Gridiron Genius to the Varsity Inn. You can get an autograph right after the show, right after 1 o'clock. Michael's getting some insider information for me from World Wide West.
Yeah, the only bookstore in this town doesn't even have Gridiron Genius. That's how much they think of me in Ocean City. They don't even have the book there. It's hilarious.
You know what? They had it. It's sold out. Now, yeah. I just wanted to back up quickly. We're going to get into Lombardi's list with the defensive minds applied to the betting market. But before we do that, first off, I'm sure you saw the video of Cam. I'm over people making fun of his fits and his outfits. I think he looks good. I know you're shaking your head, but I think the polo shirt and the sweater and the hat, I have no problem with it.
Look, I'm going to tell everybody again, if you listen to this program, and you have any value, any advice we give on this program, then take the money. Ignore this coach from the AFC East, this alleged coach who was giving opinions. I love these guys that give opinions. I don't know who it is. We don't know. We think it's gay. Who knows, right? You know, it's like Bruce Arians was saying that we should, you know, we shouldn't play or whatever. Like, I'm just telling you, Cam Newton is not going to lose his job in New England. Now, if he gets hurt, that's one thing. But Cam Newton is a top 10 quarterback. that guy's a top 10 coach who's on our screen, Bill Belichick. They know what they're going to have with him. And he is more than determined to prove everybody wrong. And I could just imagine Josh McDaniels almost being giddy-like on how he wants to utilize this kid's talent. And they've done a lot of work on Cam Newton. Don't ever underestimate that. They understand what he does before he came in there. They did a lot of work on what he was going to be able to do. I think it's a lock. Just go, as someone once told me, only bet as much as you're willing to win.
Okay, that is a great – now – BetMGM, who sponsors the show, has Cam as a starter week one, minus 358. DraftKings, minus 400. I found a book offshore. You can get Cam week one starter, minus 200. Run to that book, as Michael just said, and lay as much money as you can afford. And the outfits, Cam, keep doing you. We like individuality. Coming up next, we had the offensive side yesterday. We're going to apply the defensive minds to the betting market coming up on the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Bet Network. Okay, double your bankroll in an instant with Instant Match from BetMGM Sports. To enjoy this exclusive offer for VSiN viewers and listeners only, just sign up and make your first deposit with the promo code VSiN250, and BetMGM will match it up to $250 in free bets. You can't pass this up. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering opportunities and options, along with you go in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the BetMGM app today, VSiN, and use the promo code VSiN250. Remember, only for VSiN listeners and viewers to get your first deposit matched up to $250 in free bets. This special instant match offer only available for VSiN fans. Visit BetMGM for a new customer offer and terms and conditions. You must be 21 years or older, physically located in Colorado, Indiana, Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. In Colorado and Nevada, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New Jersey and West Virginia, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Okay, as we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line, couple news and notes as far as the station. It's never been better. The Point Spread Weekly is jumping off, and everybody's taking advantage of the free promo going on right now. You only have it for about 15, 16 more days. Go to VSiN.com, become a Plus subscriber. Also, the podcast, they're all there, VSiN.com/podcast. Trust me, you don't want to miss it. So Lombardi Line, he's Michael Lombardi. Yesterday, I just told Michael during the break, I had a bunch of people text me about applying the offensive minds and the adjustments made to the betting market as far as offensive coordinators and head coaches that call the plays. We're going to mix it up a little bit today with the defensive minds. And we're going to start here. Now, this is no particular order, correctly? We're going to start with Don Martindale, whose defense last year was, and so if you want to look against the pass, great. If you want to look against the run, points allowed, tremendous defense in Martindale. Let's start with him.
You know, I think what Don does a great job of was with him at the Oakland Raiders when we were there together. He does a great job of scouting the opponent offensive coordinator. And so he kind of has labeled, you know, he has some labels on different offenses, college West Coast, you know, standard West Coast. And so he understands how to attack it. And he brings in an array of blitzes, and it makes it very difficult on the offense to really get any rhythm or any feel. He is the, as Mark Twain once said, the unconventional swordsman is the most dangerous, because he'll come from all different angles. He's not afraid to blitz with the game on the line. He puts a lot of pressure on his corners, but yet he can neutralize an offense. I mean, he understands how to break down an offense and how to make them play left-handed. Look, Matt LaFleur, the offensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans, was 0 for 10 against him on third down when Tennessee played Baltimore 2 years ago. Now, Don didn't get a head coaching job, but Matt LaFleur did. Somebody explain that to me. But that's what I'm talking about. As a bettor, you always want to take Martindale and convey. So if Green Bay plays, Baltimore, trust me, you're going to give a half a point advantage to Martindale against LaFleur in that matchup because he knows how to attack them.
What a great stat on third downs. Wow. Now, you just mentioned head coach. I've heard Wink, as far as a potential head coach, used to put together extensive reports for Mr. Davis and others as far as head coaching potential. Is Martindale a dude you'd have in there?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, I think Don would be a great head coach. I mean, he's a little bit like, you know, he's older, he's experienced. He understands how to play the game from three dimensions, you know, but it's not popular. Remember, becoming a head coach in the National Football League is an elected position, not selected. If this was a selected position, he would be a head coach by now.
Well put. Mike Zimmer is next up. You know, it's interesting with the Vikings team. They were fine against the pass, fine against the run, Michael, but they didn't give up points. And that you point to Zimmer for that.
Right. And that's where, you know, you've got to be really good. And Zimmer last year wasn't Zimmer. I mean, you could see why he made the change to the defensive coordinator. You know, he had a fire and now he promoted his son along with Andre Patterson. But, you know, he made some tough decisions, but he wasn't the same guy. Typically, you know, they ranked 14th in the National Football League on third down last year defensively. That is not Minnesota Viking defense. They got hurt a little bit. Now they just signed Danielle Hunter to a new contract, all that. So they've got it. You know, they're going to need Everson Griffith back. I don't know what's going on there, but somebody's going to get a good player when they sign Everson Griffith, but they need to be able to cover. Last year, they couldn't cover. Whether Dantzler can cover better this year, you know, with all the guys that they've gotten and drafted, they've got to improve their coverage, but they also have to be able to get off the field on third down, something they weren't able to do last year.
You know, it's interesting. He's a guy that waited a long time to get his turn, a tough defensive minded guy that didn't interview well. 11 wins, 8 wins, 13 wins, 8 wins, 10 wins. I mean, this is a guy that wins, and he's like Martindale.
Exactly. And it's not sexy, right? He's got his way of wanting to do it, right? He's a tough minded guy. He doesn't come in and sell the suits on, you know, because the people that are interviewing don't know anything about football. Let's be real honest, right? So he doesn't wow the suits in terms of his presentation. Can we sell tickets with him? All he's going to do is bring the team toughness. He's going to make the team better. He's going to have his personality within the team, and he's going to be smart enough to understand how he has to build his team to win in the division.
He's not Zach Taylor is the answer. Okay. Sorry, Zach, that was not fair. Todd Bowles is next up. He did a great job. They were best against rundown with the Bucks. Now didn't have talent in the secondary, so gave up a lot through the air, but you like Bowles as a DC and adjusting.
Oh, I think Bowles is tough to play. I think he's really hard. He's got a lot of blitzes. He's from the Parcells school along with Mike Zimmer. You know, they're from the Parcells school of defense. He's very, you know, he's demanding on the players. I think Todd Bowles would have been a much better head coach if he had the right person with him in the front office. Mike McKagan really wasn't the right guy for him. Todd Bowles needs a strong general manager, someone to help him, because he'll run the defense, he'll run the team, he'll hold people accountable, but he needed some help. And I think that he should get another head coaching job because he's an outstanding defensive coach. He makes a difference. He knows how to attack people. He's not afraid, not afraid. The reason he got into coaching, this is a great story. Patrick, he got into coaching because Parcells watched him operate Richie Pettibone's defense when he played free safety for the Washington team.
No kidding.
Yeah, and so Parcells watched this rookie from Temple, free agent, know how to run Richie Pettibone's defense. Look, back in the day, everybody was stealing signals. Everybody was stealing signals in the 80s, right? Because there was no helmet to hand. So you would watch the coaches, and Pettibone might have been the hardest guy to steal signals from because he would give one signal and it would have 5,000 meanings to it. It was wasting your time. And Bowles ran those changes and adjustments off on the field. Parcells was so impacted by that. When Bowles was done playing, he hired him and made him a coach.
Wow. Wow. So the orchestration from the safety position got him Parcells' attention. Next up, listen, this guy's pugnacious. Maybe he should be the coach in Cleveland right now. It's Greg Williams. Whatever he's making, double it, because what he did with that Jets defense last year was awesome.
Right. Look, he's really good. Here's what he does. He makes it so hard to run the football, right? He schemes you out of having any chance to run the ball. And then if everybody thinks he's the ultimate blitzer and all that, he plays a lot of cover two. He plays a lot of cover four, right? He highlights Jamal Adams' career has been made by this guy. Jamal Adams had 7 passes broken up last year and, you know, 1 interceptions. He's not a safety that covers. He's a run player. And Greg uses them really well, and their defense is really well. And so he's hard, and he's unpredictable on certain downs. And that unpredictability, you got it. Like, he goes and plays Cincinnati. You got Greg Williams against Zach Taylor. You got to add a point to that.
Yeah.
As a better, you've got to add points to that. You know, Greg Williams goes and plays the Los Angeles Chargers with Shane Strickland. As off, maybe you got to add a point here because we don't really know what Shane's going to be able to do. Right. So you've got it. And then you can look at, okay, the Jets are playing the Houston Texans. Let's see what the history is between Billy O'Brien and Greg Williams. Now you have an idea. Now you can decide whether you need to add a point. You must do that on all these bets. You just can't look at the line and say, man, I really like the 4.5 that the Lions are getting this week. You got to take it deeper. And the coaches are more important than home field advantage.
Let's see if we recognize the 5th and final name on the list here. You could put him as a special teams difference maker, an offensive mind difference maker. Bill Belichick is next on the list as far as the defensive difference maker.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to be hard to play him, right? They blitz more now than he's probably ever has in his career. You know, I remember one time saying to him, why don't you have a call sheet? And he said, well, I got Lawrence Taylor. All I got to do is play flip two, you know, because Taylor was coming off the edge. So he knows when he needs to be simple and he knows when he needs to be complicated. I think Jim Schwartz belongs on this list. I didn't have enough room. I think he's a difference maker. He's one of the reasons I think Philly has been able to stay so competitive as they've struggled a little bit with their receiving core offensively. I think Jim Schwartz is outstanding. He makes teams play left-handed. That's what you want from your defensive coordinator. What you want more than anything is you want to be able to have the offense play left-handed. You want to take away what they do really well, right? You want to take away, whether it's the passing game, you know, whether, say they're playing Gary Kubiak, the first thing you've got to be able to do is stop the outside zone. This is what Belichick preaches. Then you force them to do something that they're not comfortable doing. It's back to that whole conversation we had earlier. If you're going to go to your right all the time, we're going to make you go to your left.
Jim Schwartz, that is a name to remember. I'm surprised he hasn't gotten a job. Remember, he's the one that took over an 0-16 Lions team and 2 years later had him 10-6 in the postseason. He's a very bright guy. We always talk about Patricia. Schwartz is a Georgetown graduate that's like a molecular whatever as well. He's brilliant.
Yeah, no, and I mean, look, he's not, you know, when he goes in, he doesn't even get a chance to get to the suits. You know, he got to Cleveland.
He's cocky.
He's very cocky. He should be. He's talented, you know, and he knows what he's doing. And he knows what he wants to do. That's the most important thing. You know, there's no gray area. Great coaches have no gray area. Great coaches have no gray area. They see it in their way. Now, they could be wrong in their way sometimes, but that's how they're going to do it. And I think that he understands it from all facets, offense, defense, and the kicking game. Same thing with Martindale. But defensive coaches, Patrick, they're not popular. Everybody wants the young offensive mind. And what you get is you get no toughness.
All right. Remember, Martindale, Zimmer, Belichick, Bulls, and Williams, when you're betting this forthcoming season, we're going to have a season. We're going to treat it like that. Michael, have a great day. Head over to the Varsity Inn, I believe it is. Let's get some information.
I'll go see my man, Wes.
Yeah. You and Worldwide West. I'd love to just be a fly on the wall in that conversation. VSiN.com, The Edge is coming up next with JVT. We'll be back tomorrow, noon East, 9 West, right here on VSiN and the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.